Hey, this is John. This is a way better sounding home from here than you would normally get because we're doing a remote at Eric Dalton Productions. And if I wasn't friends with Eric Dalton, I'd be really pissed because he's really good looking. He's really funny. He's past stupid talented. And he's a good guy. And all that would annoy me if we weren't friends, but we're friends, so it doesn't. And I am here today because Eric was kind enough to let me do a rough of Won't Be Broken for our Lifted project. And Eric, so this will tell you everything you need to know about Eric Dalton. I texted him and I said, you got a second for a pitch? And he goes, yeah. And I go, would you mind producing 37 musicians in an airport hangar singing a song no one's ever heard before? And it like before I hit send, he was like, yes, I'll do it. And we're benefiting Four Chairs. And that was super sweet of you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
No, but really, it's a big deal, like everything that you're doing. You can talk now.
Well, I was like, man, you really like laid it on with the intro. I have a lot of pressure on you right now.
There's a little smoke. Yeah. But no, it producing 37 musicians is, and by the way, okay, so the way the song is, it's kind of like a We Are the World type song where it has like solos and blah, blah. So I'm like, the song starts with an Eric Dalton solo. And I'm like, I need somebody who I know is going to be on pitch and who I know is great in front of people because there's going to be an audience and who I know is, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm making a call. We're going long on the first down and it's Eric Dalton.
Not so much the pitch part, but yeah.
Then we're down here just now and it took us like a couple hours to do the rough. So he picks up a guitar and he's like testing levels on, I don't know, that computer thing. And he's testing levels and he's just like, all right, hold on. I just got to test those. And he belts out a rock song. It's pitch perfect. No warm up, no nothing. And I'm like, dude, I so got it right. I'm so happy.
I don't know about perfect, but it is.
That was pretty perfect. You have an album out.
Yes.
Dark Matters.
Yes.
Dark Matter. Yeah. Period. Sorry.
Yeah. Singular.
my daughter and her boyfriend were listening to it last night.
Yes.
Yeah. Loved it.
Awesome.
Loved it.
I got two people.
Well, three. I heard it too.
Oh, okay, cool.
So your genre, what do you call yourself?
I would definitely say it's majority metal. But it's not like screamo type stuff. I mean, there is screaming in it, but
right.
But yeah, it's definitely metal. But you know, I mean, if you listen to the album, there's definitely a lot of different genres in it: pop, acoustic,
yeah,
techno.
And so here are my observations. Number one, you're a really good lyricist for that genre. I don't
know
it anywhere near as well as you do, but from the exposure that I've had to it, songwriters in that genre lean on the electronics a lot,
yeah,
musically,
right?
And
it's more melody based rather than lyrical content,
right? Right. Yeah. Your lyrics are good.
Well, thanks.
I never
thought of that.
Really?
No.
Yeah,
I was always more of a melody guy.
That's weird because you're a really good lyricist. Do you what comes first, lyrics or music?
Definitely, I would say it's funny. I, like even when I'm writing, I don't write like the music for the most part. Like I'll come up with like a melody,
right?
And then I'll pick out like if I'll be like saying a bunch of gibberish. And then sometimes there's like a word in there that I'll take out of it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe this is what this is supposed to be about.
No, I know that. I do that too. Like I'm struggling like da 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 watermelon da da da. Right. And then Yeah. No, that's very true. Do you what's unique about your work is to me, aside from the lyrics just being way, way, way above par, is you're a producer.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own studio. And I've watched you work. It's fucking amazing to watch this guy work. I wish we had TV. He's got a desk bigger than the president, and there's like there's more buttons here than NASA. And the way you fly through and fix things. How long did it take you to get that good at that? Because it's really like watching you play an instrument. It's weird.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't even think of things like that. But like when people come over for the first time and they're like, "Holy shit, dude!"
Yeah, for real.
But it's cool. I never even think of those things. But yeah, I mean, I've been recording for like 13, 14 years.
And so you've been. Yeah, but how long till you got this good? I mean, you didn't start
like 13, 14 years.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Your art, your album art and stuff is all stylized and highly produced.
Yeah, the art, the photo I took, but the art was actually done by Carissa Pasquarello.
Okay.
I gave her like what I was going for, and then she rolls with it.
Right.
And then, yeah, she's a great graphic designer.
But do you draw?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm like good at it. But
right. So it's weird to be both visually driven and musically driven. Usually musicians.
One or the other.
Right. So, because you're a pretty good graphic designer yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I put some things together in the past, but now I just.
You just hand it off.
Yeah.
The album,
gonna get other people incorporated.
Right. The album's autobiographical.
Well, it definitely is about me.
Okay.
Yeah. Each song is like when I write things, it's like more like I'll write about something that happened in my life, but I'll kind of leave it open so other people can interpret their own.
Right.
Kind of like fill in the blanks.
Right. That's the way a good songwriter does it. I just write it and don't think about you. You're probably doing it the right way. The album start. One thing I want to say. So in this, you don't need a label anymore in a music business.
I wouldn't think so.
Right. And it gives. So you start with like a with calling card, which is like a minute 45.
It is intro.
Just an intro. I don't think you'd be able to do that on a label.
Well, no, there are definitely a lot of bands that have like intros and stuff, but I think it definitely is a genre thing. Like you won't see that with like a hip hop
album. Right.
But there's metal bands that do intros. I mean, not all the time.
Right.
But that was definitely a big thing. Like, I don't know. It depends. I think it depends on the band. Like one of my favorite bands in this moment, they have intros on most of their albums. Probably why I'm more into that too.
Okay. What's your favorite band of the moment?
At the moment, damn it. I don't know. I don't even think I could say.
Okay.
But for that genre, it'd probably In This Moment.
Okay.
They're metal and female fronted, but she's a Maria Brink. She's an incredible singer.
Right.
And screamer.
Which do you like better, producing or performing?
I love performing. I don't do it that much, but
yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love producing too, but like, I love performing
more.
I love putting a show together and seeing it all come together. And because I put a lot into it, and the guys I work with put a lot into it. And shout out to Russ and Joe.
There you go.
But yeah, we just like it's definitely like when you see it too, like it's like okay, you can tell that there's thought, put into this.
Yeah, April 13th.
Yes, at the Derby in Poughkeepsie.
At 9 o'clock. You start, Natasha's
at
8.
Natasha Barnes starts at 8.
Okay.
Yeah, don't want to miss her.
Okay, I'm coming.
Okay.
It's a very big deal, and here's why.
Okay.
I don't stay up past 7 unless I'm performing.
Oh, wow. All right.
So,
there we go.
I'm getting a hotel room.
Okay.
And
you're south?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like an hour and change, it's not a big deal, but I'm like, dude, I know I'm going to leave like ramped up.
Right.
And so.
Well, I hope you do.
Yeah, no, I know I'm going to. And so I'm going to leave ramped up. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get a hotel room. And that way, if Julie Durkin saves me a seat next to her, and I have a few.
I don't think there's going to be seats here.
Oh, really?
No.
It's not a sitting thing?
I don't think so.
All right, man. Only for you will I stand.
Grab a seat on one of the steps.
Fair enough. Do you, guitar is your main instrument?
Yeah.
Do you play anything else?
I'll like play bass if I need to. Okay. I mean, I record all the bass for my music. I don't say I'm a drummer, but I could make drums. I could play simple things. I can play simple things, but right. like I don't record like the drums for my own stuff. Sometimes like the tribal things, like banging on a tom or something, I'll do that.
Right.
But I'll play a little bit of piano. Yeah, guitar's the main thing.
What do you think about when you hear yourself? Because I just went through this weird, listener, I just went through this weird experience. So Eric let me record this like rough cut of the song. And it's a choir song, so there's parts where there's choirs. And he fixed it so that you can hear like three of me instead of just one of me, so that you would get the feel of more than one voice. And that's a weird experience. And you produce yourself, so you listen to yourself all the time. Is that hard, easy? What do you think about
the first time, first like few years? Yeah, because I mean, I hear it all the time. I hate my voice.
Right.
That's what everyone always says. And I personally think it's like if you can hit a note, it's more like about the style that you're singing in. Like once I found like the genre and style that I sound good in, then I'm like, oh yeah, I know what to expect to hear. This is what I sound good with. And okay. This is what I write towards. And that's what works for me.
So you don't struggle. You could listen to yourself. I had to produce my own shit, I'd be through the window.
I mean, I'm okay with it, but yeah, I'm still like, all right. I guess this is what we're going.
What's your strongest suit as a musician?
I'm definitely easy to work with.
Like, that is very true, yeah.
Yeah, like I think that's because I've been in countless bands where it's just like the guys are very, it's like very ego-like and like, oh, I got to be how I hear it and whatnot. Right. And like, I'm not about that at all. Like even like, you know, my band's with my name on it, but like even when I'm talking to the guys, like, well, I've asked them like their opinion on how we should do something or right. whatever. It's like, it's not a dictatorship.
You have this kind of, by the way, if you ever make an album, if you're ever a guest on the show and you ever make an album and you don't do it with Eric, you're not invited back on the show. you have this confidence about what you're hearing and when you're listening. Like I completely fucked up one note. And you just looked at me and like lifted your hands, like, you know, you're way flat. But it wasn't even a correction. It was more just like a reaction to it. And that kind of confidence just makes you so easy to work with. Cause you know, what I'm going to get is, yeah, you know what I'm going to walk out of here with is going to be good. The only song I've ever recorded that I could listen to was the first one that we did. I played it on the way home.
Oh yeah,
from here. I played it on the way home, and I'm like,
I'm not tuning this up. Mobile.
Yeah, do your thing. I recorded Home From Here with Eric. I'm doing a whole album with him, but I recorded Home From Here, and on the way home, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna see what I sound like, and I was like, God damn, that's a gift if you can make. Because I, you're right. I hate my voice. But I didn't for 3.5 minutes.
Well, for three, actually,
it was longer than that. That's a longer song.
He only likes the first half.
right, the second half got messed up. But do you have like physical reactions when you hear people mess up?
If it's that bad,
yeah. Like, is it like a reaction you can help?
I've had a few moments where it was that bad, but I try to coach them through it. But yeah, I mean, I'm never going to be like, oh my God, man.
Burton, what the fuck?
Nah, I mean, most often it's like you coach them through it. Like,
right.
Figure out.
Have you ever made that mistake though? Have you ever, somebody ever been so bad and you just like reacted in front of them and.
No.
Okay, see, that makes you good to work with.
I've had one time where someone like they were singing, like they knew they weren't that great and they laughed. And
oh, okay.
So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna laugh too. can't judge me for laughing if you're laughing.
right. Have you ever produced somebody that you just didn't think was any good?
That I didn't think was any good. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes most often
those are like people that are just like, you know, trying out a studio for the first time, like they never really played anything before. And
right.
It's like, oh, let me have some fun. And
oh, okay.
And they come in, see if they're digging it, and I mean they have fun doing it, but like, but they're like, oh, maybe this music thing isn't for me.
Oh, okay. So they get it too.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever come to you for career advice and you've said like, look, this might not be your jam?
Oh, like recording?
Yeah.
Like if
they're if somebody came and said, "Am I good enough to record?"
Like be an artist or yeah. be an oh, yeah. They asked me that.
And have you? Are you honest?
I'm always honest with people.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not gonna tell someone, "Hey, don't do this anymore." Be right. More like maybe just put a little more practice into this, this, or that.
Right.
But
that's a.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, shut down someone's dreams.
Eric, don't tell me I can't sing. Have you ever produced somebody who you just thought was, like, so crazy good that it's ridiculous that their career is where it is?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I record tons of people where I'm like, it's like, how do you break through all the BS? Mm-hmm. Because, like, you're, like, so good, and yet it's like, you got to promote yourself. How do you get to the next level?
What is the next level for music? Because the business is so screwed up now that
the thing is, it's like
to be able to have a tour. Is that the next level?
I even before that, it's just having like the fan base of online, like people wanting to check you out. Like you can be an incredible singer, I feel, and then like someone will go check out your page and like let's say you only have like 300 like followers or whatever. Someone would probably just see that, be like, "Oh, this person must be a nobody. I'm not even bother listening to anything they got because right. there's a million other people with the same picture of their face on there with a microphone in front of them." And
right.
here's 40 videos of me singing.
Does that make you crazy that music's not a meritocracy? That how good you are has nothing to do with how successful you are most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I was getting at is like, it's like, how do you break through to get your stuff out there when there's so much other people doing it? Right. Sometimes they're not any good, but right. they have the likes. I noticed right. too, it's like the people that have the followers, the ones that aren't any good, but they're good at promoting themselves. But then the ones that are really talented aren't good at promoting themselves. Right. So they're lost in the crowd, you know?
Yeah. Does that make you crazy? Cause
yeah, definitely.
There's no other, if you want to fast forward for the next 45 seconds, go ahead. There's no other
next hour.
no, wait, hang on. Eric's going
to
sing this.
I'll tell you what I'm about to sing. You can skip.
I'll timestamp it so right. that people know. But there are very few other businesses where how good you are at whatever it is you're doing has such a low level of significance as it relates to your success.
Right.
And in music, in order to be successful in music, you have to be good at something other than music.
What do you mean?
You got to be good at promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right? So
flew right through my hair.
No, that's all right. But, you know, if I want to be a baseball player, I have to be good at baseball.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Right? But if I want to be a musician, I have to be good at promotion.
Right.
And same thing, I think, with, like, comedy, too, I guess, right?
Promote yourself. You know,
yeah,
the stand up.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I feel like that feels just as competitive as music.
It is. It is. I did 5 minutes one time.
Oh yeah, I didn't know you do comedy.
Oh,
can I give us a little bit of a?
No, you don't want to. Dude, it was like 20 years ago, and so.
Wait, is that the joke?
If bad language offends you, please fast forward. In comedy, when you just bomb. Mm. It's called eating a bag of D's.
Oh shit!
And I ate like the biggest bag of D's there ever was. And I'm like, I'm never.
Maybe that was the joke, and they just weren't getting it.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. No, they.
These are bad jokes.
Do you So this is just my impression.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this to you before that the Hudson Valley has kind of like a concentration of musicians that's different than other places. There's like a lot of good people in the Hudson Valley. And
I mean, I'm going to be biased just because that's my clique. So that's people I hear all the
right,
time.
Right.
But I wouldn't know. You tell me.
Yes, it is true. The Hudson Valley per capita has like so many talented musicians. And then there's like a tier on top of that, which is there's no reason that these people aren't pick a name that everybody knows. And I almost wonder, why? I think the first agent that gets to the Hudson Valley and hangs around for 3 weeks is going to have an $18 trillion career because there's so many people that could be represented here.
Right. Different genres too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not represented or are you?
No.
Why not?
Where's the agent?
Okay, there it is, right? You're as good as it gets in metal. And your music is, not that music can be competitive, but your music is on the same level as, pick a name, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no skin in the game. I don't really even understand your genre, other than now I like it because you're doing it. But comparatively, as good as it gets, if there was an agent here, you and I wouldn't be friends anymore because you'd be on a bus.
Cut all ties.
Right. Cell phone. Lost my cell phone. But there needs to be an agent here, right?
Yeah. I wish they just wouldn't look so much at numbers, because a lot of that's bullshit.
Yeah.
anyone can buy that stuff.
Right.
It's like, why are you going to look at that?
Right.
And a lot of times too, it's like, I follow a lot of record labels where it's like they post bands that literally just sound like a band that was already out for 10 years. So mm-hmm. It's like, what's so new about this?
Right. Right.
I mean, someone could probably say shit about me, but
well, no,
but, it's just like style wise, singing wise, it's like, there's a lot of it is just like the same thing.
Right. And do you,
record label wise.
Right. But you don't need a record label anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, they do help promote.
Right.
I mean, just to say that you're signed to something.
Okay.
And then they're going to put you out there, and not you have to put you out there.
Right.
Because I mean, with any promotion, it is, you got to pay for it with mm-hmm. promoting. So I guess it's kind of like, I don't want to sound hypocritical, but like, it's like, do you have to pay for the promotion to get the recognition, or should someone recognize you and then want to promote you because of your talent?
Does that happen anymore?
I couldn't even tell you. I'm not signed.
Which is stupid. If you're listening to this, somebody sign this guy, please. Do you want to do a song?
Yeah, sure.
What do you want to do?
I'll do Cross My Heart.
Okay.
Yeah, I love now, the song. You put me on the spot with this pitch thing. No.
Don't be nervous.
This is live acoustic. We are not, no filters here. But yeah, you just roll right into it.
No, tell me about it first.
I played this one in the last show, but I just always like it acoustically. I added it to the Dark Matter album as like a bonus track.
I thought it was an homage to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I told my daughter that last. I told you this before, but I told my daughter that last night. I'm like, you know, he threw that last one on there. That's this all one's for me.
It's in the metadata.
Something unplugged. There it is. In the metadata.
This is for John. And, it's just a song about like being there for someone, knowing that you won't let them down. That's like the bare bones.
Now, it's autobiographical, though. So there was a chapter in your life where you did this?
There was a good part.
Oh, okay. Before we get to the rest of the album, there was a happy moment.
There was a happy moment.
All right. And this is that happy moment.
This is a happy moment.
Beautiful, man.
Let's see if I can do this for you.
Give you all my days, regret nothing. You are my life. Knowing it all could end, I cherish everything like it's the last time. I'll stand by your side through the darkest nights. You'll never be alone. Kills me to see you cry. I'll do anything to make it right. You know I never want you to go. Never again. Never again. No, never again. 'Cause I never wanna make you cry. It's a promise. Never fight, and every time will be the last time. But this keeps happening, it's inevitable. I know that I'm only human, but we all try to be perfection. 'Cause life won't be the same without you. Never again. a promise I will never let you down. Lay you down. Lay you down. Down, down. Cross my heart in hopes you die. You are my, my life. Come on. Lay you down. Lay you down. Down, down, down. Cross my heart in hopes you die.
Damn. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. Well, what do you think about when you perform?
What's next?
is that really what you're thinking about?
There's like a million things running through my head. Like
what?
What's the next chord?
Okay.
Although there's three of them.
Right, so you got a 33% chance of getting it right.
I have a 33% chance of getting it right, and sometimes it is not right. Yeah, I'm thinking of that. I'm like thinking of the lyrics. And what's funny is most often I try to not think of the lyrics because that's what fucks me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, I'm like, oh, should my foot be tapping right now to keep me on tempo? It's like, Amelia, what am I having for lunch?
I've always wanted to ask somebody who knows what they're talking about this question.
Where are they?
So we're going to finish the show up and then I'm going to
going to make a few calls.
Right. Because you're a producer, tempo matters a ton to you because when you record, it's a reference point you have to have.
I mean, it definitely makes it a lot easier. Not to cut you off. Lot easier to edit and everything. I mean, I like structure. I like a steady tempo.
Right.
But I mean, there's parts where, you know, I don't do that. I'll turn the tempo off if it calls for it. It's not like we have to stay to a tempo.
Right.
But I'm always just going to say it's a lot easier for us to like edit and add effects to it later if it is to a tempo.
Do you think, so if you were playing acoustic and you were out and you were off tempo, do you think anybody would notice?
If I'm by myself, no.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. No. All right.
I don't think that's necessary.
Thank you for
at
being
all.
Honest. That's because I.
Yeah, no, that's not necessary to like play to a tempo, a click track when you're doing acoustic by yourself.
Yeah. Well, like if you're just
also very feel like.
Right. Right. Know? The other thing I like about that song, it's an interesting choice. You have like a couple moments of silence in there. That people don't do that, and I never understood why, because I think that's such a great tension.
Oh yeah, the silence is not only the dynamics, but like it's like what's coming next.
Right, right.
Yeah. You said like the chord hit isn't the part that sounds good. It's the sustain.
Yes, it's the space in between what you're.
I listened.
Oh, thank you. To your show, you listen. I'm just kidding. That's the thing. Like that's why I don't. Shredding's great. It's really fun to watch. And
for 5 minutes.
Yeah. But then it just becomes. To me, shredding's like opera. It's more athletic than it is. It's more dexterity than it is music. Because right. If you're really good at shredding, I'm not going to hear everything you do anyway. Because you're that much. And for me, I enjoy it more when there's space in between notes and the guitar can do some work.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, like when I do a live show, like I really, like, I'm sure I get people that are like, oh, you're playing at click tracks? I'm like, yeah, bitch. I recorded it all anyway.
Right.
And, you know, this guy playing the drums, Russ, he's playing his drums. Joe's playing the bass. He's singing. I'm singing all my parts.
Right.
I just don't feel like dealing with the hassle of having like a live guitar player, and I personally don't like having to play a guitar and be like glued to the microphone because like I want to be able to move around, interact,
right?
And but like when it comes to guitar soloing, it's like I only pick the guitar up for the solo, and right. It's only like three times in the set.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah, like it's just here's some extra little like, oh, okay, what's he gonna do?
Right.
Rather than like me doing that the entire time, it just gets monotonous and boring. Like,
right, right.
But it's like, oh, he's picking up I could probably pick it up and play something terribly, but people would be like, oh, wow, he picked up a guitar and played that. But if I did an hour of like something that's just constantly shredding, it's like, all right, man, we've seen you do that. The first 5 minutes.
when you, because your shows aren't like, your shows are thought out. I'm all kidding aside, I'm genuinely excited to see it. But they're very thought out.
Yeah.
What percentage of the show is performative versus musical? April 13th at the Derby in Poughkeepsie.
Plug.
There you go. Or when you're there, are you so confident with the music that it's all performative at that point?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we only like get together like maybe 3 or 4 times, run through the set once, and then we're like, okay, we got it.
Wow. Oh, okay.
But we get together knowing the parts. Like, we don't get together and practice.
It's
like,
not dry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we get there, know what we're doing, play it. We're like, okay, this is good. Then we can focus on like, oh, maybe this for like the show. But it's not like there's only like a couple of times where it's like choreographed, like, okay, just stand here for this part. But the rest of it's more just like have fun.
Just right.
Yeah.
Do you, because you have such an ear, does it bother you when, not yourself, but other musicians are off? Does it bother you to the point where it's really irritating, or is it just something you notice, or is it?
When they're like what, singing
way
harmony
off,
with me,
yeah.
or
even just
their own thing,
doing their own thing.
I mean, everyone. Everyone enjoys a good bad sing. I can definitely hear it.
Does it bother? Like I,
it depends.
I was buddies with an architect, and he couldn't be in a room where everything wasn't flush. And that always reminds me of you, because I'm like, I bet Eric hears like stuff that other people don't hear, and it like.
I mean, vocally wise, it's like being a little off is natural. Like, even when I'm editing, and like, I'm not going to make it sound like, if it was perfectly on pitch, you'd sound like a robot.
Right.
So I think that is cool there. I think what irritates me more is when the guitar is out of tune. Yeah, that like really throws me off. I'm like, oh God, man.
That's why I don't play 12 strings anymore. All the stuff I used to write was on 12 strings.
I barely like tuning 6.
Yeah. I don't like tuning 6 either, but I can do it. But a 12 string just. Listener, 12 string has twice. Here's some math. 6 string guitars go out of tune all the time. 12 string guitar has twice as many strings. Therefore, it goes out of tune twice as
much. 10 times more.
Right. Yeah. It's just so annoying.
I math.
Do you, what's a mistake you think that performers, not musicians, but people performing music make? That like the most common mistake.
First thing that comes to mind, performance wise, I hate it. And this has nothing to do with music, but just like the show itself. But I hate it when I see people, like mostly dudes, have stuff in their front pockets. Mm-hmm. It is a pet peeve of mine.
Okay, fair enough.
For the longest time, I'm like, dude, take your freaking wallet out of your pocket.
Right.
Like, it just looks like ridiculous.
It just looks
like,
stupid.
I've seen it where it literally looks like they have like
that's
football
hilarious.
Pads like
that's
in their
hilarious.
Pants. You know? It just, I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I'm trying to think of mine.
Pet peeves.
Oh, my pet peeve is musicians who don't use dynamics.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, you know, to me, you're not listening to yourself if you don't.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, even, not to talk about myself, but the song.
No,
played,
we're here
like
for
the
you.
The second verse, I bring it down and
yeah.
then bring it back up.
Like, right.
Yeah, stuff's important.
Yeah, and but I think when people perform, and there's no dynamics.
It's very hard to do that when you're with a full band, especially a drummer.
Right.
I think drumming dynamics are really important
and,
like,
hard.
And harder to
yeah
to do
yeah
guitar too. Like I think that's like a genre thing because. I mean, rock metal, the guitars are heavily distorted, so it's going to sound really compressed. And mm-hmm. it's like you can't really get so much like dynamic like from that.
Right.
Distorted tone, unless there's a part in the song where you go to clean or something or crunchy and you bring it, everyone kind of mellows out.
How much music do you listen to a day?
It's funny. Like, I don't really like, I'll listen to like bands sometimes, but like, I don't really listen to much music because. Like I'm listening to a lot of music, but it's like the people I'm working with.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like I'm going out and like, oh, let me, I just finished listening to 8 hours of this. So let me go turn on some music to relax to. Like, it's more like, or if someone's like showing me, like, I think I've mentioned this before, like if someone shows me like a reference.
Yeah.
For something that they want, like I'll check that out. And that's how I hear like new artists.
Is it, excuse me. I would imagine somebody with such a distinct sound, if it, it would be hard to not direct somebody you're producing too much.
Oh yeah,
because you know that if I said John do this, it will be better. But I've said John do this three times in the last 4 minutes, and do you come up against that?
What, like trying to make them sound a certain way?
No, like there's only so far you can correct or you can direct somebody before it becomes what you want instead of what they want.
Right. Yeah, I always try to keep it more towards what they want. Obviously,
that's But is that a struggle?
It depends on like how like ready they are. Like if I see all different levels of preparedness,
okay,
like or talent too. Like if they come in with, it already sounds like they have like their sound down,
right?
And I'm just the new guy that they're recording with,
right?
Then I'll kind of like let them do their thing, and yeah, I'll give like my two cents on like how it should maybe do this or that,
right?
But take it or leave it,
right?
Like,
what's the most common mistake songwriters make? And I have an answer for this one. This one I've thought out.
All right. Yeah. I think most common is not keeping things interesting. Like, you know, you made a verse, but that doesn't mean you have to do it the same way the next, like, three times, four times.
Right.
Or like, you know, you got three choruses throughout the song. Why don't you chop one of them in half? Mm-hmm. And, like, the first one chop in half and, you know, make it go to the second verse. Like, keep it moving kind of a thing.
Right.
That happens a lot with a lot of rock. I feel like I'm always like chopping up a song and being like, oh, let's change this or that. And you know, for the most part, like sometimes answer. Like I'm working with it all the time. Mm-hmm. So like I think of those things,
right?
But like other people, like they're writing the song, they got the verse, they got the chorus. Okay, let's and multiply these parts.
I'm relieved that it's over. Let's just take times three and get out of here.
And I listen to it for fresh years. I'm like, you know what? Maybe this, we don't need it.
Right. Yeah. My thing is, especially when people are playing out, when they don't know that a song's over.
The band kind of like abruptly ends and everyone's ending on their own thing, or they just keep playing?
No, they just keep playing.
Yeah.
And like I went to this, I can't say it, can I? No, I can't. I will hurt somebody's feelings.
We'll bleep it out.
Okay.
Shoot.
For 4 minutes, nothing's going on, and I'm like, bro,
I've never seen that before.
You can cut that out. It's very easy.
It'd be interesting if they had like a loop playing that, and then they soloed over
it. That's interesting, right? Yeah. But it's not a loop. It's just, look what my hands can do. Yay for me. Poor for you. that made me nuts.
Yeah.
But what's your favorite thing that a performer does? What's the one thing like, holy shit, I love when they X.
Engage with the crowd.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, because that to me is like the performance itself.
Right.
Like, I don't want to go see a band just to see them play.
Right.
Like, you know, I want to see how they interact, like their charisma, I guess. Like,
I'm the same way. It's better. Some bands are Look at Me, and some bands are We Are Here. And I like the We Are Here bands, where it's we, all of us, you, me, are here. I like that better than than Look at Me.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah, like I want to go to a show. Like if you're just standing around playing and I'm just like watching you stare at your fingers, then it's like, man, I could just listen to this at home.
Right.
For free.
For free, yeah. Do you – all right, so you have a video coming out.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the 24th?
Today, the 29th, Savior.
Which today's the 24th.
Today's the 24th.
Right?
23rd.
23rd, okay. So the video comes out on the 29th. And this show is going to be released 23rd or 24th early in the morning. In 10 minutes, hang on.
We're streaming live.
How do I see the video?
It's going to be on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just Eric Dalton on YouTube.
Yeah, Eric Dalton, Savior.
How long does it take to make a video?
This one,
why did my voice just do this?
You're serious about this? This one was actually like kind of a struggle because I was trying to get the setting at a certain spot, and months went by, and then they finally get back to me. And actually, my buddy was Jeff Eiko. He was looking into the spot for me, and he finally, like, we got a meeting set up, and we're there. And they're like, "Oh," and we already told them like what we wanted to do,
right?
And then we get there, and the one curator's like, "Oh, you can't dance in here, though." And again, the whole video is like a
why not?
Like an interpretive dance to this acoustic song. Like, I guess to not break things.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought it was like a religious thing.
Well, damn, lady, if you just told us that from the start, oh, that's like I would have already had another like spot lined up.
Right.
But I guess things all happen for a reason, because then I end up doing a video, music video shoot for Kirsten Lee.
Yeah.
And
she's coming on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, she's awesome.
Oh, I never met her.
Yeah, I did a video for her, and then like months later, and then I was telling her about this song I'm looking for a spot to film it at, and then she actually ended up getting me a spot.
Oh, nice.
That was free. And I'm like, that would have never happened if the other right. people didn't like, you right. know, think, I guess things happen for a reason.
How do you conceive of a video?
I think it's like a just vision, like something.
Does it change the song once you attach a visual to it for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I always like music videos, but, definitely like, I feel like a lot of times people like overthink it.
Okay.
Like, where it's like, look, if you just get like, there'll be like a shot of like, I don't know, someone's eyeball staring through like right. a glass, and it just looks weird. But like for a split second, it's like, you know, that's a very simple thing to do, but you just got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes people just like overthink like simple things like that, where it's like, you know, we watch tons of music videos. It's like, well, let's take a step back and just analyze what you just saw. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, that's not that difficult. It just looks cool for the right. split second that you see it.
Right.
And like, once you like, you're like, oh, this, once you realize you can do more things than you thought, then mm-hmm. you can kind of piece things together. And Kirsten Lee, she was the first client I ever had where like she came to me with a full script.
Oh, wow.
So I literally, it was almost like when I record like a full band, like right. they come in knowing the song and all I have to do is really hit record and I'll right. get my 2 cents here and there. And that was the first time I ever did that with a music video, because most often it's like someone hits me up and like hey man, I want to do this music video. Okay. And they're like, yeah, can we do it in 3 days? I'm like, can we think about this? Like, I want it to be good. Do you? Like, yeah, she came to me with a full script. And so it was kind of nice just showing up, knowing what to do.
Right.
And like, she had like a whole itinerary of it, a schedule of how everything was going to go down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was very well put together.
Maybe I should ask her to write the show we're going to do.
You should.
Okay. I will. Do you, are you in your video?
My video? Yeah.
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 But you say you can't dance.
I'm not, yeah. yeah, Alexandria, she is an incredible dancer.
So oh, okay.
She had some moves like worked out.
Okay.
To have me do with the.
Oh, okay. Her. Oh, so you do it.
Yeah, but it's nothing crazy. It's
still, that's kind of cool.
It's more like I'm just standing there.
Okay.
She's doing all the work.
But you play in it.
I play, yeah, I'm playing acoustic in it. Okay. And it's more like for her to do interpretive dance and. Really, this song too is about like you're going through something like a hard time, and you're just looking for someone to give you some sort of like distraction.
Okay.
Even if it's just for like a second, or not a second, but even if it's for a few moments, like.
But, I have about 26 of those, and I know all their names.
Yeah, and then at the end, it's just like I don't want to give it away.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll play the song.
Yeah,
sounds good. We're going to insert the recording.
Well, we're going to insert the recording right now of Savior.
Everything has changed. I don't feel the same. Wish I could run away. I don't wanna face it. This empty house doesn't feel like home. I'm talking to the ghost. I'd rather be on it than alone. I'm looking for a savior. to help me ease the pain. Cause I can only take this. Never thought I'd feel this empty. I'm looking for a savior to help me ease the pain. Cause I can only take this. Never thought I'd feel this empty. This story has grown cold. Getting used to being on my own. Replacing my head. And I just wanna forget. Show me a way. Even just for a moment. No longer believe in fate. Cause nothing lasts forever. I'm looking for a looking for a savior to help me ease the pain. Cause I can only take this. Never thought I'd feel this empty.
You just heard Savior. I just heard Savior. We all just heard Savior. The video comes out Friday the 29th.
Yes.
Awesome.
I'm like,
on YouTube, Eric yeah. Dalton.
Yes.
What's your dream for your musical career?
I would love to be able to just play more. Like,
why don't you play out more?
It's a lot. It's a lot of work, like just getting the guys together. Like, they're very easy guys. I mean, Joe, he flies from like North Carolina.
Oh wow!
To play these shows, which I appreciate the hell out of.
Right.
And I mean, these guys, I know, like, if there was a time where like I had some sort of like interest from some major label or whatever that wanted us to go do like a serious tour, I know that they would like do whatever they can to do it.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's just a lot of work. I mean, my thing, it's not like I just can pick up a guitar and
right.
go play somewhere. It's like a whole thing.
That is such a hard leap to for what you do.
Yeah.
That is such a hard economic leap to make, because you can't, like, somebody, you do what I do, you can build up to a tour. I can go, mm-hmm. you know, I can go play around and,
right.
you know, build up enough following. It's just, if transportation's only me, setup's only me. A
little Vespa scooter.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the guitar in your back.
I wanted a Vespa and I wasn't allowed to get one. I'm still pissed about it. But to get, you're in a weird spot because you have like a whole production.
Right.
What about a residency? Could you do a residency?
Oh, where you play there like once a month or
yeah.
something? I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, the thing is, now that
the chance
closing down around here, I feel like a lot of other bars and clubs are like trying to like branch into doing more show, like
right.
venue style shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, the Derby, like they normally don't have original bands play.
Right.
But spoke to the owner, Joe, and I was like, look, I'm going to have Natasha play, I'm going to play, and we're going to pack this place.
Yep. Yep.
And hopefully, like, kind of, you know, opens their mind, not just him, but, like, I want from
the model needs to be established.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you could bring it to other venues, right, like clubs and stuff. Right. Be like, look, we can do this, like,
right,
with original music. Like, it doesn't have to be 3 hours of cover songs, because I feel like a lot of times it's like there's a lot of great, you know, talk about Natasha, it's like she has a lot of great originals, but like, and they need to be heard.
Yep.
And I feel like sometimes they can just get skipped over if it's just like playing a bunch of cover songs everyone knows, and then you play an original song. Like, we need to like kind of like put it in the spotlight,
right? Right. You know, so, and people, that's the hard,
I feel,
part.
Like people pay more attention. Like, people going to the show know that Natasha's going to play originals. They know that I'm going to play originals.
So right.
They're going there expecting that.
It, for somebody like you, originals are easier than for somebody like me. Because for somebody like you, there's something to watch, even if I'm not necessarily enthralled with the song.
Yeah.
There's still something to, there's still
it's
something
entertaining.
Yeah, there's still something to watch.
We'll get you some hazers.
I don't think that's going to work either. But I you know, so to your point, yeah, even when somebody like you goes to a venue and says I'm going to do originals, you know, you don't need the crowd to love and be familiar with every song, cuz it's going to be watching anyway.
You're right.
Hopefully. And it's easier to sell an original when you have something visual that people can pay attention to. So
right.
I think your argument to venues is spot on. It's not about, you know, I could be boiling water, and if I'm doing it on this set with this lighting and this blah, 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 I'll still have people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what I was getting back to is just like, I feel like once other places see that you could do this.
Yeah. Once the model's probably there.
Cause I understand. It's like, you own a place, you need to make money.
Right.
You don't want to be like, hey, oh yeah, I'll have this band play, and then no one shows up. And
right. And you take a risk, and you know, yeah.
Right. So I get it.
Dark Matter is the album.
Yes.
What the fuck happened? What spurned this thing?
Well, I released this album, actually I released last year, but under a different name.
Okay.
And then I just never really cared for the name. I felt like it wasn't, I didn't have like a connection to it.
Right.
But Dark Matter is like it's like what pulls things up. I'm like, I'm into space and like learning about space and things like that. And Dark Matter is like what pulls things apart.
Okay.
And so that's why in the cover, it's like part of me is getting ripped apart.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah. And then you could see like in the cover too, like it has like a heart there with the crossover
right.
the song.
Right.
Yeah.
But like personally, because it's an autobiographical album, and it looks like I've listened to it. It feels like you got hit by a car, something.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I could go on for an hour about what each song is about.
Go, but, we can run over.
Yeah, no, I mean, Oblivion is the first track is about like, you know, be true to yourself and don't. Like, you know, while I'm up here having a good time, like on stage performing, like all the hate that you get, it means nothing.
Mm.
Like, you kind of like, this is what I enjoy doing. And
right.
Cause like I've seen, not that I've ever been, I mean, the only thing people ever made fun of me for were my pants and my hair. But I'm like, well, I'll take it.
I was going to say, if that's it, then don't worry about it.
But, yeah, so that one's about that. And, Head in the Clouds, more about like, you know, being a dreamer and being okay with it.
Okay.
Like, cause I mean, the chorus itself, it's like the reality that I live in is never. Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. Wait, the reality I live in. What was it? Say it again.
It's like, I want more.
Right.
Like,
I want more. Yeah, that's right. I made a note about that. I thought that was such a great lyric choice. Cause very, it's saying, not overdressing lyrics is hard. Mm-hmm. To just plain speak in lyrics is really hard.
Right.
Because you're writing poetry. You don't want to bore people who are hearing your words. And it's so easy to overthink a lyric. And I made a note during that song that saying "I want more" is a great lyric choice because it's very simple.
Right, right.
I'm just not satisfied. I want more.
Right, right, exactly.
And instead of like a lot of lyricists would just create a premise where this is what life should be and this is what I have and there's a space in between the two and blah, blah, blah. This was just very direct. And I remember making a note about that.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was a great lyric choice.
Thank you. Yeah, probably like some of my favorite lyrics that I've written for myself were in that song on the break.
Okay.
Yeah, where it's like, you can't live free with yourself, consumed in self-doubt. So break away, try to escape the prison that you've built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, don't be afraid to be who you are. Go be a dreamer, do what you want.
Right.
And people will catch on to that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we just gonna roll through. You want me to roll through each song?
Yeah, please.
I mean,
it's a great. I wouldn't normally, but it's a great album.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we did "Cross My Heart." That's next. But then "Pressure" comes in. This wasn't on the original album, but I felt like it was cool. I liked it for this. "Pressure" really is about like my most recent life changes with the whole like divorce and everything,
right.
And you know, you can give your all to someone and then they could still take it all, like mean absolutely nothing. And that's really like what that song captures.
Okay.
For me at least.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny, like my favorite part of the song, like people are always like, oh yeah, my favorite part of the song is this.
Yeah.
But it's like my favorite part of the song is actually the bridge part right before the breakdown where it's like they say time heals all wounds, but there's not enough time for you.
Nice. Like, yep.
That and
that's a good line.
Like I try to live my life with no regrets, but you're the biggest one yet. And it's like that's actually like a callback to another song where I mentioned like regret and things, but not in that manner.
See, that's the difference. That's what I'm talking about. Your album, as opposed to the other albums I've heard in that genre, your album is so much more thought out. Like you would have a callback. Period.
Mm. Yeah.
Is a thought out decision.
Right.
That's other level than standard fare.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's why it's such a great album.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Keep going. You did "Pressure."
I'm like thinking, what's next? I think "Infection's" next. That one, like, that's like the most like rocking song.
Yeah.
Just like kind of like bare bones, like hard rock. That's what that I think of that one. That one's just more like cutting out the people that are just like kind of like, I mean, quote unquote, an infection on your life. Like,
yep.
You don't need them in your life. Move on.
Hard to do, but yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Then it goes into "My Demons," which is about, you know, accepting who you are. And like it starts off really like down and everything, but then the ending, it's uplifting.
Right.
Kind of, you know, it's a very uplifting album in a way, although it sounds like it's not.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next thing? I go into it's like a solace, which is just kind of like a mellowed out, like minute and a half thing of me just like singing O's and whatever.
I love that, by the way.
I just like, I'm into like very like, not that it's, I don't want to take away from the actual stuff, but it's like very like tribal, like
that was,
chant like.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my own interpretation of how I would do it. I just like that stuff and like just the simplistic drum beat.
Yep.
Yeah, then it goes into "Savior," which
we heard that.
Yeah, we heard that one. It's funny. I'm like, what's next? Oh yeah, "A Part of Me," which that was on the original album too. That one is like talking about like everything that happens in your life. It's like it's a part of you, and you know, the line going in the chorus is that every it's like, what's the lyric? Every memory that I've made, that I've experienced, it's like everything that I've experienced, it's like it's part of me and it's who I am, and mm-hmm. just that is what it is.
Right.
Like, accept that. It also talks about like the bands I've been in, how I like had to leave certain bands and start my own thing and do my own thing. And that's what made me like progress in a way.
Right.
I don't even remember. Oh, "Without You." That's about like losing a loved one. Most simple form. Trying to keep them bare bones here. And then "Deception." That's actually like, that one is a song that I wrote probably 12 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I was just liked it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm like, it's metal. It's cool. I wrote it when I was in high school. And I'm like, I want to keep it. Because the original album was called Playing Favorites.
Right.
Which that was about like some of these ideas were like riffs and things that I took from my favorite songs over the past few years that right. I've written. So that's why I called it Playing Favorites. And
oh,
I
cool.
threw that one on there. Yep. But yeah, it's just a metal track. I like it.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend of mine, Anna, DJ Anna Omega.
Oh, right. She did. Yeah, she did, mixed it.
Yeah, we produced Oblivion
right.
together, the dance version. And she's incredible, too. Like, I've been to a few of her techno shows, and it's really cool. Like, I'm just sitting there, like, analyzing it. Like,
right.
how do they do this, and that? And then I came to her. I was like, hey, would you want to do a, like, produce a techno version of one of my songs? And she was like, hell yeah.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so we got together, and like I engineered it, but she was telling me how to put it all together,
right?
And but yeah, she's great. That's I've included that on the album. Then I did an instrumental version of Infection, which we play live.
Mm-hmm.
That way I could pick up a guitar and play something.
There you go, my excuse to play.
Exactly. And then last I just ended it with Cross My Heart.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's a fantastic album. You're going to play us out of here?
Yeah, I'll do Let me plug
April 13th, the Derby. Be there at 8, see Natasha, and then Eric's on at 9. Show up because original music's important. The video Savior comes out Friday the 29th. Just go to YouTube and find Eric Dalton, and it'll be there. The album Dark Matter is available everywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. You might trip on it,
not
actually.
Not in stores.
Right. Not in any stores, because there aren't stores anymore.
That's right.
But congratulations on it, man. It's a real work. It's really cool.
Thank you.
It's next level stuff. Really, really fun. And what are you going to play?
Yeah. So I was going to play Pressure Acoustic. It's it sounds so different without everything else going on, but I think it's cool. I mean, oh yeah, I gotta put this on. I think it's cool to get a different feel from it.
Yeah, man.
I gotta tune that. But yeah, so Pressure Acoustic.
That's a pretty guitar. We talked about that guitar, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, I love that guitar. Yeah. I almost bought a Ibanez. They make like an exotic wood one.
Oh, is that like where it's like the brown on top with the?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like it's weird kind of wood. And then I went and played it, and I'm like, I know why this wood's why this is exotic and people don't use it on guitars, because it's horrible.
Oh, it doesn't sound good.
Nah.
All right,
man.
Cool. All right, here we go.
Play us out.
Still no sign of the sun. It's so hard to find a way to accept your mistakes, but I have to live with the decision I made. Tell me, do you love? Tell me, do you love yourself? 'Cause nothing else matters. Never meant to be. You give it all you got, and still it's not enough. I can't take this pain anymore. The pressure's building up. Until the end of days, forever this will remain. I'm forced to give up on the dreams that we made. Tell me. nothing else matters, and in the end, we were never meant to be. You give it all you got, but still it's not enough. I can't take this pain anymore. You took all that we were, set it on fire. I can't take this hell anymore. The pressure's building. And they say that time heals all wounds, but there is not enough time for you. I try to live my life with no regrets, but you are the biggest one yet. Try